Lesson 14, Another, Who's the Same? This lesson begins on page 91 of your book. This audio text version contains the reading of any listed footnotes. God's selection of what languages to use, for the original manuscript of the Bible, is another indication of His supreme intelligence. He had man utilize Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, for a reason. He selected from man's tongue, the most expressive mankind has ever spoke. For example, in the English language, I could make the following statement, "Boy, that is something really hot." Without providing additional context, no one could really have any idea about what I was trying to say. The something could be physically hot to the touch, spicy hot to the tongue, exceedingly fast, having a stormy temper, provocative and sexy, freshly made, as in hot out of the oven, of intense interest, etc. The list for the possible meaning of the phrase goes on and on. This problem largely does not exist in the Greek, Hebrew and Aramaic languages. The reason is, they contain many more words within them than do our modern ones. This means they can pass along far more information using fewer words. One advantage is, God could produce a much more compact and exact Bible. Continuing with our example, Hebrew has many differing words to effectively describe the many things in which something can be hot. All ambiguity would be removed. Scholars can use this information to maximum advantage. In the previous lesson, we examined the verse, when Jesus was using his having come in his Father's name, with the approach of another. Recall that Jesus was speaking about the Antichrist, who will come using his own name. Let's look again at John, chapter 5, verse 43, paying attention to the use of the word, another. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. Footnote number 85. In the Greek language, there are four different words, which are all translated, another, in English versions of the Bible. There are a total of 261 appearances of these four words, within pages of the New Testament. One of the words is used just once, with the second one being used but five times, so, we need not worry about these two. I want to focus on the remaining two words which are used collectively 255 times between them. One word is allos, and the other word is heteros, which is where we get the prefix, hetero, in English. In the Greek language, each word has a slightly differing definition, which permits an important distinction to be made. To start off, the word another is defined in Merriam-Webster as different or distinct from the one first considered. Therefore, we know there is a difference between Jesus the Christ and the man we refer to as the Antichrist. They are not the same person, they are two different individuals. The Greek language defines the word another even tighter. The word allos means another, but of the same kind or genos. Allos is used 156 times in Scripture. The other Greek word for another is heteros, which means another, but of a different kind, order. Heteros is used a total of 99 times. In our example in John, Jesus chose the Greek word allos for another. It tells us that the Antichrist will be a different person from Jesus Christ, but of the same order. The Bible goes to great length to show us Jesus Christ is a direct descendant of Abraham, through both his earthly mother Mary, as well as his earthly father, Joseph. The scriptures clearly show Jesus is related to Abraham, through Isaac, through Judah, patriarch of the tribe of Judah. Footnote number 86, Matthew, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah, and his brothers. End of footnote. His lineage continues for 11 more generations until King David. Footnote number 87, Matthew, chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. The line proceeds through David's wife Bathsheba, for another 14 generations before reaching King Jeconiah. He was king at the start of the Hebrew exile to Babylon. Footnote number 88, Matthew, chapter 1, verses 7 through 11. Finally, another 14 generations passed, leading to Jesus' earthly father, Joseph. Footnote number 89, Matthew, chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. So, we can see there were a total of 42 generations from Abraham to Joseph. Footnote number 90, Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 1. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. End of footnote. Thus, I would expect to discover that the man revealed as the Antichrist will have the same characteristics in this case, as does Jesus. Both of his parents would have to be of Jewish descent. Which I will tell you, they both are. Plus, I believe if we could trace his lineage back to one of the brothers of Jesus, we would discover 42 generations, between then, and his birth. I will offer some additional thoughts on this in the following chapter. But for now, based on the word allos, the Antichrist cannot be other than of Jewish descent, else, Jesus would have used the alternate word heteros. And, John the Apostle, would have been then forced to record it as such, in Scripture. The Jews were well versed in the dogma, that the Messiah was to come out of the root of Jesse. Footnote number 91, Matthew, chapter 1, verse 6. Jesse was the father of David the king. End of footnote. Jesse is in the same line as Christ. Jesse was the father to King David. Both Jesse and King David were Jews. So, it makes total sense that the Antichrist would also arise from the same stock. He's going to lay claim to being the Messiah, so why would he do that, were he not already a Jew? Were the Antichrist going to be a Gentile, Jesus would have used the word heteros, to delineate him as another, coming in his own name. The very title of Antichrist screams that this man will be of Jewish descent. There is even more evidence. As shown in the first chapter, the meaning of Antichrist has a double meaning. It means, one who is opposed to Christ. The Antichrist will be opposed to Christ in the same way the Jews were opposed to Jesus. They didn't believe he was Messiah, and never accepted him as such. But, the title also maintains, that he will be an imitation of Christ. This man will be an impostor. He will lay claim to being the long-awaited Messiah. But, he will still be a total fake. Were he a Gentile, it would have been impossible for the Jews to accept him as such. Sure, he might have claimed to be a Jew without actually being one. But, the truth is the man who is the Antichrist, is a practicing Jew. It is unthinkable to believe the Jews would be deceived by someone who is a Gentile. An additional trait we can discern from the word allos, is that the Antichrist will be a man, versus a woman. Were the Antichrist going to be a woman, again, Jesus would have used the word heteros. The Bible always refers to the Antichrist as male, but, here is one more element proving this fact. He is repeatedly referred to as, the son of, this is not a term used to describe a woman or female. The available evidence shows the Antichrist will be a man. The truth is, the Bible shows he's indeed a male. Lesson 14, Questions for Discussion. Question 1. Explain God's rationale for using the languages he did, for the text of the original Bible. Question 2, define the word allos. How is it different from the English word another? Question 3, why did Matthew begin his book, with a full description of the lineage of Jesus Christ? Question 4, why wouldn't the Jews, accept a Gentile as Messiah? Fully explain your answer. When you're ready, you can proceed on to Lesson 15, A Lamb and the Dragon. If you're listening using the website, just hit the back button on your browser, to return to the page with the Chapter 3 lessons. Then move on to Lesson 15, A Lamb and the Dragon. Click on the blue box, to hear the lesson with all footnotes read aloud. Click on the green box, to hear the version without them. If you're using an audio player along with the thumb drive, to listen to the book, it will automatically sequence to the next lesson. If you wish to stop play, just hit pause or stop. As long as you keep the thumb drive in the player, it will remember your place when you resume listening. If you're listening to the book on a computer or tablet, manually selecting which lesson to listen to next, click on the File Explorer to pull up the thumb drive menu. Then, click on the box for Lesson 15, labeled 3.15, A Lamb and the Dragon, to hear the next lesson.